Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have another great hour planned. We're going to continue talking right now about the police shootings in America and the riots and the chaos, and a little bit about Maxine Waters. She's kind of eating up all the headlines today. It seems that her words were inciting violence, which, like I said before, I think that if people are going to be violent, I don't think you can blame it on other people's words. But for a woman who took such offense at Donald Trump telling people to peacefully protest on January 6th, it's pretty rich that she's out there telling people they need to get more confrontational. Like I said, does that mean anything that goes wrong, I'm going to say it's on Maxine Waters? No. But if you were a politician who actually cared about people in a community and you saw that community was dealing with a lot of violence and anger, I don't know if your gut instinct should be, I'm going to tell people they need to get more violent and more confrontational. That's just me, though. I'm not a career politician like Maxine Waters. And then we do have a lot of Dr. Fauci stuff to get to. I know I'm going to do a Dr. Fauci rant today. I can feel it in my bones. It's happening. So just wait for that. Now, I'm very excited about our next guest, Vince Everett Ellison. He's a friend of the Howie Carr Show. This is his first time on the Grace Curley Show. He's the author of The Iron Triangle, which is a great book about black preachers, civic organizers, and politicians in America. Vince, thank you so much for joining the show.
Grace, I'm happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Vince, the first thing I want to ask you about, first I'm going to play a little bit of this Maxine Waters sound for the audience so they can hear it, and then I want to get your take. I know that you're very critical of Maxine Waters, and also you've been critical of Al Sharpton in the past. A lot of people who end up going to these protests and voicing their opinion. So let's play Maxine Waters first, and we'll just see how much of this we get through.
I know that the right wing, the racists, are opposed to it, and I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I know this, we've got to stay in the street, and we've got to demand justice.
As a black man, despite all of the efforts, I feel like nothing changes, and George Floyd is waking so many people up, yet nothing has happened, despite the rhetoric. Like, what needs to happen that's different this year than all the years before?
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict.
Now, Vince, I noticed something there. The man says, as a black man, it doesn't feel like anything changes. And I want to ask you, because I've seen some of your writing about this before, you sometimes make the point that people like Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton, who really, they've made their careers off of politicizing some of these events, they don't necessarily want things to change.
Oh, no, they're poverty pimps. And they're doing their job. This is what they're sent to do, incite, lie, cause disruption. They have to have 90% of the black vote in order to stay in power, the Democrats do. And they get that vote by instilling fear and making black people believe a lie that they're being discriminated against and oppressed in the United States of America. That has not been my experience. I'm a black man in this country, and I've always allowed my conduct to carry me. My father taught me to not offend. The only time I offend is when I'm offending to defend Jesus Christ. So, these people are prideful, they're offensive, and like this black man said, I'm a black man, when are things going to change? I tell the brother he's got to change himself. We always look without to change things. We should be looking within. It is always you. I've always been taught that, I can only control what I can control. I cannot control what happens, but I can control how I respond to it. And so because of that, I've never been arrested, never been in jail, always worked, have a wife and a family that love me. my brothers and sisters are the same. And when we see these people that go throughout America complaining, usually you find out that their biggest enemy is themselves. It's not the country, but Maxine Waters, James Clyburn, Al Sharpton, Ben Crump will look at them and do the old Hitler trick. They'll say, it's not your problem. Hitler said this. It is not your problem. It's the Jews. They're the problem. And then people say, oh, yeah, it's the Jews. Let's get them. So they tell black people, this is not your problem that you're poor or that your schools are terrible or that you're killing each other in your neighborhoods. It's the Republicans. And the black people say, oh, let's get them. And the Democrats say, well, we're here to protect you from them and to help you keep them away from you. So keep electing us. And it's the same old game. You know, William Faulkner that said, the past isn't dead. It's not even the past. They do the same thing over and over and over and over again, and they get the same result.
Now, Vince, my question for you there is, because I know how acutely aware you are of this, and you've written about it in your book, The Iron Triangle. But do you think there are a lot of people, because what I noticed in 2020 with the election is there does seem to be a lot of people in these minority communities who are waking up to this and not really buying into what the Democrats are spewing anymore. Have you been seeing that, or do you think that people like Al Sharpton and Maxine Waters still have a lot of control over those communities?
I agree with you a lot, Grace. They stole that election. I'll tell anybody that they've been stealing elections since 1876. And they never stopped. They've always used bribes, intimidation, ballot stuffing, and murder to win elections in the black community. So, I mean, black people aren't voting for this. They have one-party rule in Chicago, Detroit, L.A., Memphis, and all these big cities because these people go down there and they use gangster tactics to get what they want. If you want to call bribery, intimidation, stuffing ballots, beating up people, murdering and killing people, souls to the polls, street money. If you want to call that winning elections, okay, and you call that legal, fine. But that's how they win them. They don't go out there and do the hard work of convincing people that this is nobody's going to vote for looting. Nobody's going to vote for murder. Nobody's going to vote for burning buildings. No one's going to vote for schools that are monster factories that don't educate any children. No one's going to vote for drugs and prostitution. The Democrats control every drug corner, every whorehouse, every gambling house in the black community, every failing school. They control every corrupt police department. They control every corrupt federal judge and every corrupt DA. This is their making. Every one of these majority black districts are extraordinarily poor. James Clyburn's district in South Carolina, he's the most powerful black politician in the United States of America. Out of 435 districts in the United States of America, when it comes to child poverty, his is 433. Yet, he is the number one most powerful black politician in America. If you want to become powerful in the Democratic Party as a black person, make sure you destroy your own people. You'll get a promotion. Ask Cory Booker about what he did when he was a mayor of the town he was over inside of New Jersey. I can't think of it right now. I mean, the town still in trouble. Poverty, murders, killings. He got promoted to a senator. You ask Kamala Harris. She got promoted.
Well, Vince, can I ask you?
You your people in order to get promoted in the Democratic Party if you're black.
And I want to ask you this, Vince, because what I've been noticing is that there's this huge push by liberals and a lot of white elite liberals in the colleges to virtue signal and to show everyone how much they care about the black community and how much they're anti-racist, because it's not just enough now to not be racist. You have to be actively anti-racist. And a perfect example of this is the Georgia voting law. And it kind of blew my mind because I'm thinking, now, hold on a second. They moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta. And the people that are going to be hurt the most from that loss of revenue, it's a majority black city. And that right there, but as long as it looks good, as long as they can run with the narrative that they're helping, it makes them look better. But I'm sure that there's black people in Atlanta who are going, wait a second, how is this helping us?
The Democratic Party has always hurt black people. If a black person during the Jim Crow era, when a black person got off of the plantation and decided to go do something on his own, they would burn his crops or kill his mule to put him back on the plantation. What they did in Atlanta is what they've always done. They've always hurt black people to try to keep them poor and destitute. This wasn't a mistake. This was a plan. And then they moved it to Colorado, where a bunch of white folks live. That's what they wanted to do. They always hurt black people. Whenever they see black people coming up, what happened during the summer of 2020 with the Black Kristallnacht? They destroyed 60% of black businesses during that time. Why? Black people saw what Donald Trump was doing. They were getting jobs. They were starting their own businesses. They were coming up, and they were getting ready to get off the plantation. And the kids that killed their mules, and they burned their crops and put them right back on the plantation again. It's a variation on the theme. This is just the iPod version of it. And when it comes to this critical race theory, all your white listeners listen to me. Critical race theory is trying to do to the black, to the white community, what Democrats have already done to the black community. Destroy their self-esteem. Make them hate one another. Turn them inward to a path of utter destruction. If they ever get the white people to start hating themselves, the whole, all of America will turn into an inner city. See, they did this to the black community. The biggest problem with the black community is that they don't love themselves. This is where all this gangster rap and hip-hop comes from. When you hear the type of things that we say about each other, ain't white folks saying it. It's not Jews and Hispanics saying this. Black people calling their women this. Black people calling each other this. We have a problem that's inside of us, and it's not going to be fixed until we look inside. And they're trying to use this critical race theory to hate white people, hate themselves. And if white people ever start hating themselves, they're going to turn on each other, and they're going to start killing each other, and this is what these liberals want. So you guys better look out for it, and y'all better protect your children from it, because they're coming for you.
And Vince, I'll actually be talking about that in the next segment, because there is a parent at a school in New York who wrote a letter about critical race theory, and I think it goes along really well with what you just said. But Vince, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to hang up the phone from you, and I'm going to get all these calls about who was that guy, where can I buy his book. So Vince Everett Ellison, let people know where they can follow you on Twitter, what your website is, and the name of your book.
Okay, my website is irontrianglebook.com. Irontrianglebook.com. My book is called The Iron Triangle. You can get it on Amazon. You get it on Walmart.com, Target.com. It might be in your bookstores. And you can follow me on Twitter at Vince E. Ellison. Vince E. Ellison at Twitter. It's been great talking with you, Grace. You are great. You are the very, 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 very astute and smart young lady. God bless you. You're going to do great things in your life.
Thank you so much, Vince. I so appreciate you calling in. We'll definitely have you on again soon. Vince Everett Ellison, so wise and such a kind guy. I love hearing from him. All right, guys, now an update for you. I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time here at the Howie Carr Show. In fact, a lot of people ask me, do you guys ever have to actually bring in lunch because you get so much free swag? And that is true. But I can say without a doubt that nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. That's right. Every other Friday, we get a massive spread of delicious food. I'm talking calamari, pizza, chicken wings, tiramisu, salads. Everything is so delicious. And if you want in, if you want to come to the studio, watch the show, get a free meal, enjoy a really fun time, you go to gracecurlyshow.com. The box will drop down when you get to the website. You just enter your email. It's that simple. I'll put your name in this bucket right here, and then we'll pick the winner. We get a winner coming in this Friday, and then we'll pick a winner next Friday. They'll bring everything. They actually have you look at the menu and pick out some of your favorites, which is always fun for us. And whatever they bring, I assure you, it will be great. If you want to check them out, they have four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Make sure you tell them that you heard about them on the Grace Curley Show. Takeout is available too. Again, to enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch. And I got to emphasize this. We get the guests who come in, and they're excited to see the show. And then it becomes very clear that they're really excited to try the food from Aviva Trattoria. And I start to have to play second fiddle to Aviva, but that's okay, because it's just that good. If you want to check it out, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. We will be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to open up the phone lines, take your calls. Do you agree with Vince Everett Ellison? Do you want to talk about this? And we'll also talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I love Vince Everett Ellison. He's so positive, and he's so wise, and he's not afraid to say what he's really thinking, which I appreciate. We will get to your calls, 844-500-4242, but first, today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their drain the swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. That's C-O-V-F-E-F-E. I've got some here in my Moby Dick's mug. I love Covfefe. It's so yummy. And I'm a big dark roast girl, Jared, and I think it's one of the best I've ever had.
It's very bold. It's very deep. It's very good.
What is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which organization do you think is more fraudulent with its supporters? Black Lives Matter or the Lincoln Project?
This is tough because the mother of Breonna Taylor came out over the weekend and she posted something, I believe, on Facebook. She has since deleted it, but she called them out for being fraud. She said, "I have never personally dealt with BLM, Louisville, and personally have found them to be fraud." State Rep Attica Scott, another fraud, she wrote. And then in the back here, I'm going to read. Now, this is from her post, I think, because it has been deleted, but she said, "I've watched y'all raise money on behalf of Breonna's family, who has never done a damn thing for us. Talk about fraud. I could walk into a room full of people who claim to be here for Breonna's family who don't even know who I am. I'm so sick of some of y'all. I'm done with this bleep. Enough is enough." And this all comes on the heels of finding out that one of the co-founders, or is that the proper?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter bought a very expensive home in a very wealthy white neighborhood. So they've been under a bit of scrutiny as of late. I'm still going to say the Lincoln Project because I know so much now about Rick Wilson and Steve Schmidt and all these people. And I just think it's hard to beat them when it comes to grifting. John Weaver, they've just got an all-star crew. That's all I'm saying. So I'm sticking with the Lincoln Project.
Black Lives Matter is up to 84%, just 16% for the Lincoln Project.
Okay. And something else I want to talk about. Actually, you know what? We will go to the calls here. I think I have time for one call. And then on the other side, I'm going to tell you about the scathing letter a dad wrote to his child's private school that has been obsessed with critical race theory over the last couple of years. Bruce, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bruce.
Happy Independence Day. And although I'm very sad on this very occasion, just because of what's going on with Maxine Waters, she should have been arrested immediately, if not sooner. We got a couple of guys in the National Guard that got wounded by a drive-by, and why they didn't engage them and take them out right there had a green.
See, I disagree. Like, I'm not part of this thing, this group that thinks that we have to arrest people for saying things that we disagree with. I think Maxine Waters, what she said is very irresponsible and it's gross and it's despicable. But I'm kind of a believer in let her say it loud and proud so that people can wake up to what a fraud she is. Maybe I'm alone in that. That's just how I feel. We'll keep taking your calls here. We have the rest of the show wide open. So 844-500-4242. We do have to talk about Dr. Fauci. I mean, the guy cannot help himself. He weighed in this weekend. As you guys know, Monday is usually the Fauci roundup day because he goes on all the morning shows. And he went on with Chuck Todd and he talked about how even if you're fully vaccinated, you still have to wear the mask. And then he made comments on gun control in America. And once again, it begs the question, why are we still listening to this man? To this guy who goes on all the shows and tells people the same thing over and over again. When I say I'm sick of Dr. Fauci, it does not do it justice. 844-500-4242. I also got to read you guys this letter. One dad has had enough of critical race theory, and I think you're going to appreciate this. We'll be right back on the other side with more of your calls. It's Monday, and this is the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Dr. Fauci was headlining.
What was that from, Jared? He's on a radio show?
That was Marshawn Lynch, the former NFL player. He had Dr. Fauci as a guest on a video that he was doing. That's how he introduced him.
Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci was headlining.
Wowzer. Speaking of Dr. Fauci, I have a lot to get to, a lot of sound involving Dr. Fauci. Of course he's giving us his opinion.
Fine, Matt.
It would not be Monday if we didn't have to go through maddening Fauci sound. But before we get to that, there's an interesting story. And the reason I want to hit on this now before I forget is that we had on Vince Everett Ellison, author of The Iron Triangle, and he was talking about critical race theory and how scary it is and how much all parents should be rejecting it. And it's getting increasingly more popular, and not just private schools, but in public schools as well. And there's a story in the New York Post. It ended up on Barry Weiss's Substack, but a father at a elite Manhattan prep school, Brierley, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, he wrote a 1,700-word letter and he mailed it to 650 families. Now, this is the same school where, Chelsea Clinton, Tina Fey, Drew Barrymore, Steve Martin, they all have kids who go there. The tuition is $54,000 a year, and they're big believers in critical race theory. And this father just had enough. And I love this quote. He was talking about, in the letter, he describes his issues with the curriculum and, you know, what it's teaching the kids. But at one point he said, someone had to do it. Someone had to light the match. Everyone's so afraid of cancel culture. We're going to destroy the city. We're going to destroy the country. And I thought that was really, really well said, because what they want these parents to do is sign all of these anti-racist pledges. And it's fine to not want racism in your school, but then once you start reading deeper into this stuff, it's beyond people's idea of what is anti-racist can be very confusing. Like, you read that and you go, well, what's wrong with that? I'm not racist. I'll sign it. Then you realize that your kid's going to go to school and they're going to have to break down their oppressive background. And are they the oppressor? Or are they the oppressed? Critical race theory is really, it's messed up. It really makes these young kids hyper-focused on their race, which seems so backwards to me. So he sent this letter out, and the school, the head of the school, fired back on Friday with her own message. And you'll never guess. She thought his letter was deeply offensive and harmful. Once again, we are the softest generation in America right now. We're just the softest people. He sends a letter out disagreeing with the school, and she tells him that the students felt frightened and intimidated by the letter and the fact that it was sent directly to our homes. Our students noted that as this letter, which denies the presence of systematic racism, crossed their doorways, the evidence of ongoing racism, systemic or otherwise, is daily present in our headlines. And the dad said, the upper schoolers are afraid of getting a letter at their home. They're frightened and intimidated. The school has said its number one priority is to teach these girls intellectual bravery and courageousness. Not brave enough to get that letter, though. Snail mail's where they draw the line. My safe space. We are a nation of safe spaces. I think that might be a column, maybe my next column. We're just a nation of safe spaces. And he said if the administration was truly concerned about, and this was another point I really enjoyed, because a lot of times when I see things happening in the culture, like, for example, there's a superhero they came out recently and they said he's going to be gender non-binary, or, you know, maybe he's going to be gay, or so. There was something that he was going to be. And I have no problem with that. I have gay listeners. I have absolutely no problem with that. But I remember thinking to myself, if they really wanted a Superman or Superwoman who was going to have to deal with intense scrutiny and have to deal with criticism, they would have a conservative superhero, because they would have a canceled superhero. And that's what the point this dad makes. He says, in the letter, Gutman decried the school's vacuous and inappropriate and fanatical use of the words such as equity, diversity, and inclusiveness. And he mentions that if they were so concerned about equity, maybe they would focus a little bit, and I'm just skipping around here, on the legacies, the preferences for legacies, siblings, and those families with especially deep pockets. Varsity Blues, anyone? You're getting kind of that sense from it? Then he says, if the administration was genuinely serious about diversity, you know what, how he always says, diversity university, it would not insist on the indoctrination of its students and their families to a single mindset, most reminiscent of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Instead, the school would foster an environment of intellectual openness and freedom of thought. And he repeated what I heard a lot from parents, which is the school is beginning to teach them what to think instead of how to think. But he sent out this letter, got picked up. He said he's gotten all these emails from people encouraging him, saying, good job. All these other parents who have so much money, who are paying $54,000 to send their kids to school a year, but who don't have the gumption or the guts or the cojones to say to these administrators who they're paying an exorbitant amount of money, stop teaching my kids this bullcrap. Teach them about the American Revolution. Teach them math. Teach them a language, but stop teaching them to hate themselves. And this father is absolutely right. People have to start getting a little gutsy and not being so afraid that, oh, all the woke virtue signaling parents are going to know that you sent that letter and they might not invite you to the Christmas swap this year. I'm sorry, not the Christmas swap. The holiday swap. You might be left out of the cocktail parties. The stakes at this point in this country are too high. You got to get over that. People have to stop worrying about being liked. I understand being scared you're going to lose your job. I understand why people, you know, don't get political because of that. But these parents have big time money, or as I like to call it, bleep you money. And if you can't stand up for what you think is right when you have bleep you money, then as a country, we are screwed. All right, now, moving on from that to a little bit of, you know, I would like to say it's a little bit more lighthearted and fun, but it's going to get me just as angry as I am right now. Dr. Fauci. Everybody knows.
Dr. Fauci, what's happening?
I must start calling him that. I really like that. Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci was doing his rounds. You know, what minute? So he's had 15 minutes of fame, but he's got to be on minute, what, 13, 14? We're getting there. 16, 17. It's got to be ending soon. And he does not want to give up the dream. He does not want to say that the light at the end of the tunnel is near. He wants this, as Stephen Miller put it, who, by the way, just a side note here, Jared, I don't know if you know this, Stephen Miller, Red Steves, my absolute favorite person on Twitter, is coming on the show tomorrow.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Spectator's Stephen Miller, who wrote a great piece called The Perpetual Pandemic. And now, after I read it, every single tweet I see, I think to myself, perpetual pandemic. That's a perpetual pandemic. Fauci wants the perpetual pandemic. And if you need further proof, this is him with Chuck Todd, cut 13.
Why does a vaccinated person have to wear a mask?
Okay, this is something that as we get more information, it's going to be pulling back that you won't have to. But currently the reason is that when you get vaccinated, you are clearly diminishing dramatically your risk of getting infected. That's one of the things we've got to make sure everybody understands. You dramatically diminish it. However, what happens is that you might get infected and get absolutely no symptoms, not know you're infected, and then inadvertently go into a situation with vulnerable people. And if you don't have a mask, you might inadvertently infect them.
It's all such nonsense. None of it makes any sense. And I keep saying that to people, you know, because I bring it back to this a lot, but everybody has different things, you know, like everybody has weddings or, you know, something they're hoping to happen in the next couple months. And then people will say to you, well, you know, everybody's eligible for a vaccine. What is it, April 19th today? Everybody can get the vaccine. And in a normal world, that would make you think this is going to end soon. That would make you think that in this building, we wouldn't have to wear our masks. And maybe when you go into the grocery store, you could take your mask off. But we don't live in a logical, normal world anymore. We are all going based off the whims of these deranged, obsessed control freaks who love this. That's the scariest part. They love it. It's the same reason they have all the funny masks with the designs and the little gold chains and, you know, the commercials about, oh, Zoom, you know, Christmas with grandma over Zoom. But it means more because this year we realized how much we care about one another. These people don't want this to end. They want it to go on forever. Fauci knows how ridiculous he sounds, that vaccinated people are expected to wear masks, but he doesn't care. He'll keep saying it. And listen to what he said. Then he gets real gutsy because now he's going to talk to Dana Bash on CNN. This blows my mind. Cut 14.
You know, myself as a public health person, I think you can't run away from that. I mean, when you see people getting killed, I mean, in this last month, it's just been horrifying what's happened. How can you say that's not a public health issue?
He's talking about gun violence. So Dr. Fauci, the highest paid federal employee who has wreaked havoc on our economy, on the mental health of people in America, on the world, with his, I'm liking the word perpetually, so I'm going to say perpetually incorrect predictions. This guy is now going to weigh in on gun control. Oh, you know, if it wasn't so infuriating, it'd be kind of funny. If he wasn't such a little jerk, I would laugh at it. But it drives me nuts. Is anyone listening to him anymore, though, or is it just me? Am I just having my coworkers like Jared, or am I just having my producer pull this stuff and people are saying, Grace, nobody's listening to him anymore? I hope that's the case.
Oh, no, there are plenty of people. You see it all over social media. There are people who still worship at the altar of Fauci.
No, I don't believe that.
I mean, you have to
lie
down. You can't kneel. He's so short. But
if you guys are still listening to Dr. Fauci, if you have friends who are still listening to Dr. Fauci, please call in. And you know what I'm curious about? If you have someone in your life who you think, even when the mask mandates are over and we've kind of moved on, because I think eventually that does have to happen at some point, do you have someone in your life who you know is going to still wear that mask? If you have a wedding, if you have a party, they're still going to show up with the mask on. That's what I want to know. Because I think I have some people in my life who will do that, but I'm curious if I'm alone. We will be back on the other side, 844-500-4242. It's time to vent about Fauci. It's our Monday Fauci rant, so go for it. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. I've been hearing people talk about this all the time. People who they're trying to decide, do I sell my house? You know, what's the tax burden going to be? He's going to hike it up. And I know people have a lot of questions about this. So it's a great time to not be flat-footed, not to squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or even decades. You got to sell today with JJ Manning. For over 40 years, JJ Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, JJ Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. JJ Manning is the best, and there's a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted JJ Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row. Because they have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with a broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. Some sectors are at all-time highs. Others are losing ground. Don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too. You know he's capable of it. As Obama once said, don't underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. Don't wait until he does. You got to cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111. That's 1-800-521-0111. Or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. I see you guys on the line. We'll get right to the calls on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. This is a tweet from David Leon Hart from the New York Times. If you are vaccinated, still wear a mask in some situations. Even though, yes, the medical benefits are tiny, it contributes to a culture of safety and is a sign of solidarity with the unvaccinated, who remain a majority of Americans. They deserve your support.
I'm unvaccinated. I don't need solidarity or support. Thanks.
I don't either.
I'm cool. I'm good.
I don't either. A culture of safety.
Yeah, I don't need one of those either.
I like a culture that's more focused on freedom and that, what did Dr. Fauci say, that liberty thing?
I don't see it as a liberty thing.
I see it as a liberty thing. That's why I'm here. That's why we have this show, because I see it as a liberty thing. Dennis, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Dennis.
Grace, this is pathetic. We live in a culture of fear. I live up here in Maine under Commissar of Crap Mills and our own little private Dr. Fauci, this Dr. Niraj Shah that runs around daily making statements and counting dead bodies from weeks ago saying, oh, we didn't report them in time. It's the COVID carnival, and he's just part of the sideshow. We've got to stop this stuff. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm not afraid of this mess. We've got to stand up, and we've got to be counted saying, no, it's over. The Spanish flu went away. This will go away.
Exactly. And I read a piece from David Marcus, and it always stuck with me. I read it months ago, but he said, we're past the point of slipping out of these cages. We got to break free from them. We have put ourselves in cages of our own design, and it's destroying people. It's not just destroying the economy. It's destroying people's lives, people's happiness. And I feel the same way you do. You call it a culture of fear. Some people call it a culture of safety. It's not the culture that we all grew up with, though. We grew up with, you know, you take risks. That's part of liberty. There's a big, big factor in a free country of inherited risk. That's what comes with freedom. And we're not all supposed to be bubble boys. And in the words of Kevin McAllister, Dennis, I agree with you. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. And I'm really not. I don't think most people are. Maybe I'm wrong, though. There's always a few people who are still afraid, but that comes with the territory. Rob, you're next. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Grace.
Hey, what's up?
Great show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to talk about Dr. Fauci's comments. He said yesterday that this was a public health crisis. Has this guy ever heard about mental health? I mean, the boy that went in there, or the young guy that went into the FedEx, and then he killed himself. This boy had told his mother he wanted to commit suicide by cop. Why wasn't he taken into custody? Why didn't he get mental health help?
Rob, I'm sorry we're running out of time, but you are right about that. There was warnings, too. The authorities had warnings about it. Mental health is a huge deal, and we're forgetting about it because of COVID. We'll be back on the other side. Thanks to all the callers. Don't go anywhere. We'll take more in the 2 o'clock hour.